Hello and welcome to the Spooky Chris podcast. My name is Chris Ringler. I am the aforementioned Spooky Chris. I am an author, podcaster, movie reviewer, general ne'er-do-well. You can find all of my stuff at spookychris.com. This go-around, I have the distinct pleasure to have a conversation with author Kathy Koja. And I am very excited for that. Ms. Koja is the author of such books as The Cipher, Strange Angels, Skin, Stray Dog, Velocities, Buddha Boy, Under the Poppy. Her two latest books are Dark Factory and Dark Park. She is an award-winning author and a very, well, a much younger me was lucky enough to have his mother purchase her first, Kathy's first book, The Cipher, when I was homesick. She got it from the local Five and Dime, basically, the local drugstore. This is back in the day when they had book racks, and she grabbed it for me, and I devoured it and was a fan ever since. She is definitely one of the foundational writers that inspired me, and I have always kind of felt was one of the inspirations to my own writing and my passion for writing. So I'm very excited to have a conversation with her. So I welcome you to the Spooky Chris podcast, and I welcome you to a conversation with author Kathy Koja.
I'm ready.
Recording in progress. All right. When did you kind of realize you'd fallen in love with writing?
I was a little child. I was probably 4 or 5 years old. And when it came to me, or when it dawned on me, or dawned it through me, whatever, that you could, that the stories that I loved to read or to have read to me, or and then when I could read myself, that you could make those stories yourself. It's like, mind blown. Okay, I'm going to do this. And my first stories were like really short. I mean, like one sentence. But it was a complete sentence. And I read so much as a kid, and I have, it's covered up with all these notes, so I can't show you, but I still have the poetry book that I think shaped me. It's like the golden treasury of poetry. And it was edited by Lewis Untermeyer, who I didn't know who that was, but everything was in that book. There was limericks, there were epic poetry. The Highwaymen is in there, and I will, if encouraged at all, do a dramatic reading of The Highwaymen at the drop of a fucking hat, okay? And what that book was doing for me that I didn't know, or I didn't realize till a lot later, it taught me about meter, and it taught me about flow and about what language can do. And I mean, even The Highwaymen, we won't get off on The Highwaymen, but it is so propulsive that whether or not you care about the story that's being told about Bess, the landlord's daughter, and her lover, the dashing highwayman, and the, you know, the guys who are coming to kill him, the rhythm just takes you and just pulls you along till you are deposited at the other end going, wow, that was great. And those two things, I think, the knowledge that it was possible, and then the fact that language was something you could play with and was malleable up to the point where you can't make it do whatever you want, but you can make it do whatever you can, right? Or you can work with it. You're not, you know, making it do anything, but you can work with it like a plastic material. And yeah, I will never get to the end of that. You can't. I mean, you can never get to the end of it.
What were the books that outside of the Treasury, what were the books as a young person that really kind of spurred you on and fueled your fire?
I read everything. I read a ton of stuff, and the I think that's why I always feel like young people or any people of any age, read whatever you want. The good stuff will stay with you and the bad stuff will fall away. And especially as a younger reader, I think those reading those bad or stupid books, whatever, are, I don't mean bad like Mein Kampf. I mean like, poorly written, goofy or whatever. But those kind of books really develop your shit detector, right? Because you read those and you read them uncritically and you read other things uncritically, but you start realizing, oh, I like this better than this. Why is this better? And that starts helping you develop, I think, your own idea of what is good writing or what's the kind of writing that you want to read, and then what's the kind of writing you want to do. Wuthering Heights is my favorite example. I've been reading that book for 50 years, literally. I first read it when I was 10 and thought, wow, this is great because all these people say whatever the fuck they feel like saying. This man, that Heathcliff, he'll tell you off. And the more that I read it and I reread it every few years, and whenever I read it, I get more from it and I see more of what she did, and I understand from my now my own perspective has changed, and I can get more. I have a book coming out this year now. I can stop saying next year, this year, from Clash Books, called Catherine the Ghost, and it looks at Wuthering Heights from the perspective of Kathy Earnshaw, who in the book we only see through other people's memories. She's dead when the book begins and when it ends. So we never see her life in that sense. But Lisa at Clash had the brilliant idea of bringing in Catherine's daughter, who is also named Catherine, and whose life was kind of overlaid or stinted, or not stinted, stunted, by, well, and stinted too, by her mother's. And so in that sense, she was kind of a ghost too. I mean, her story kind of starts where on her birthday, which is the day her mother died, her father always goes to the cemetery like alone so he can cry on the grave. Did he ever get this kid like a birthday cake? Did he ever give, you know what I mean? So her whole life has been lived in the shadow of this death. Like, I'm the reason my mother died. And going back into that book again with a writer's perspective and saying, how can I create this story or this story about these two young women who are the same age? In fact, when Wuthering Heights begins, Catherine, the daughter, is the same age Kathy, the mother, was when she died. So, and if Lisa and I had not had that talk, and then if I had not written this book, I would never have noticed that. So that was in there too, right? Because that book is always about, oh, Kathy and Heathcliff and the Moors and all this stuff. There's the layer upon layer upon layer upon layer in that book. And it will probably be the last book I read before I die. And I'll go, oh my God, I can't believe she did this. And it will have given me everything I could have taken. And I think we all have books like that that we can go back to again and again, or even that meet us on the way and that you couldn't have made heads or tails of, when you were younger. But when you get older, you go, oh, okay, now it's for me. At first, I didn't like it, or I didn't, not even I didn't understand, it wasn't speaking to me. It didn't have anything to say to me. So,
That's
but those
awesome.
other books that I read when I was young, yeah, the ones that stay with you are the ones that follow you. But I think even the ones we don't remember are valuable too. Even the ones that we liked and didn't love. Like I started reading Shirley Jackson a little bit older than that, but and my sister had a ton of fantasy and science fiction paperbacks, so I read a lot of that, a lot of short fiction. And I probably read David Bunch much too young, but David Bunch is so cool. But the idea that there were no boundaries, there were no, I didn't have a good education as far as a formal education. My school district was not good, and I did not go on to college. So everything I learned by myself, and I learned by reading. So there are different ways that education could have gone, but it went, it kind of went by itself, like one hand held one book to the next, one, you know, one writer to the next, to the next, to the next. Did that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's amazing. How over your career to this point, because you'll keep changing, but how have you been able to notice how your kind of how you tell stories and the stories you want to tell has changed over your career so far?
They're getting shorter and faster. They're, and I say this, although, haha, trilogy, Dark Factory trilogy, but even those books are more compressed and propulsive and faster. And I don't know how much of this is, would have been inevitable anyway. I think COVID has changed a lot for all of us, that we might not live long enough to figure out the ways that that affected us. And it affected us all differently because we're all at different, you know, stages of the game. But I noticed afterward that I could reread anything, but reading newer things, they had to appeal to me more strongly, or I was not, I lost a level of casual interest. I just never got it back. And it isn't that I want things to move fast for speed's sake, but I want that propulsion even more. I want everything to be The Highwayman. If it's not The Highwayman, we were talking before we hit record about the poem, The Highwayman, and how it's just pure propulsion. And I want everything to be like that. Highwayman or nothing.
How, and that's just occurred to me, how do you feel like the current political climate has affected or infected your writing?
Oh yeah. I don't see how it can. I don't see how anyone who's paying even a cursory amount of attention will see that the United States is in a really tight corner now, and in ways I could never have fathomed that this would happen. It's not even American exceptionalism. Like, this cannot, it can't happen here. It can happen anywhere. The far right is also on the rise again in Germany. So you think, Jesus Christ, if it can happen there again, I mean, it's like a virus that we have as a species, and it shows itself in different ways at different times. But I don't, and when you add in the enormous implications of climate change, you could, everything you write could turn into a story about climate change, because that's the defining circumstance of our life. That's how we have to live going forward, period. And I don't see how that cannot have. I will say this. I was working on a book called, I didn't finish it, called Face the Wall. And right when the Trump years were starting, 2017, and it was set in Berlin, and it was about this young woman who falls in with some people who are not what they seem, and da da da. And the people in it were so mean. They were so mean. They were emotionally abusing her and using her as a patsy, and they were mean to each other, and everybody had the knife out. And finally, I said to my agent, I don't like to work on this. I can't do this. And he said, well, you know what? Put it away. Don't then, if you can't. But there was one character in that book that I did like, and I took him out. And he turned out to be Ari, who was the heart of Dark Factory and Dark Park and Dark Matter. But I wonder now how much of that meanness and cruelty, you know, was what we were going to live through, was what was coming for us, right? And this kind of brutality, this, you know, ignorance and brutality that we were going to have to grapple with. And it, trying to work on that was just unbearable. So that is not a book that will ever be finished by me. And I don't know that I could have worked. I'm not the kind of writer who could work on things directly. Like, I couldn't write about those years directly. That's not how I roll. I'm sure there will be some books that will come out that will make our hair stand on end, right? That will grapple with those things directly and wonderfully written, but terrible, terrible to read. The same with Ukraine, the same with what is happening in Gaza. All those things have to come out, but how and in what form of art they will come out, who knows, right?
It looks like I'm going to lose you sooner than I thought. So I'm just going to, how does your, cause you've got this interest now. Well, I mean, I can't say now, I've noticed, in kind of the performance aspect, how does that marry to your writing and like the storytelling?
Once I found out, it was kind of analogous in some ways to finding out that I could read a story and then I could actually boom, write one. Working on remaking or adapting my own work and other people's work for live performance was another way of saying, oh, boom, you can tell this story in a completely different way, but it's the same story. It's just a different way and a different way to get people not only involved in watching it, but in being part of it. And there's a group, and I don't remember their name. They're LARPers who do, they're in I want to say in the Netherlands, who do a version of Hamlet, a 3-day version of Hamlet. And you go to this literal castle. They're working on finding a place that's more accessible, but right now it's a real castle. And you go there and you have been assigned a role. And in those 3 days, you basically live that role. I mean, you're free to leave, if it's too intense or whatever, you can stop. But they give you this role to play, and you, part of what you're doing is trying to figure out, should my character survive to the end of this weekend? Have I done anything? Am I acting in such a way that I should be allowed to survive at the end of this? And it's just mind blowing. People come out of there crying. People don't want to leave. People may have made intense friendships. And that's a piece of fiction. They're living through a piece of fiction, right? There's no such Hamlet. But it's 1,000% real. So that's the kind of thing that I find fascinating, that a story can, you can embed yourself in a story and live it and change it by living it. Because I'm sure every time they run this thing, it's different, right? So think how fun that would be, right?
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, I'm. It's interesting because of my own endeavors, like seeing how you've really kind of grown. And I don't know if folks outside of our region would know, understand, because you've done these kind of events and stuff around our Dark Factory and Dark Park, and it's just fascinating. To see that, like, I'm very, I don't know, envious isn't the right word, but like, I'm very, it's an inspirational, like, in kind of wanting to do events and stuff.
And I think that people will, the last thing that I did was a launch for Dark Park, and the people who were present for that had all been sort of like the LARP people. They had all been invited and they were each given a role. And within the context of that role, they were free to interpret it however they wanted. And each of the people at the event were asked one question. And the question was, now that the world has ended, what are you going to do? And they answered it. But watching people come in, and not only I am here in this role, but I'm inhabiting this role and I'm interacting with the other people, some people knew each other, a lot of people didn't. But that they were inhabiting that role for that night within that Dark Park context. Like, well, the world that we knew is over, which it kind of is. The world that we, especially the older people, who it's like everything we knew is over. So how are we but we're not dead. We're not in Valhalla. We're not, you know, we're still here. So what are we going to do? How are we going to go forward and live? And I think that's what's fascinating about that idea, is getting individual people to interpret and reimagine what your idea was, and to watch them do it is just, it's so satisfying. It's just so, so fun, because they always come up with things you would never expect.
That's amazing. I guess my last thing before this thing shuts off on me, how do you hope, like, people remember you or your writing? Like, you know, this, do you ever think of like a legacy or anything, kind of, you know?
I hope, I don't mind if I am remembered or not, that's immaterial. What I would hope is that the books were useful. They were useful in some way. They were useful in making someone think of something different, or making them see themselves differently, or giving them an idea or an impetus to do something, that they were of use. I would be very happy with that.
That's amazing. I mean, I did my little intro to this. Like, I can, and I'm sure I've told you, but like, yeah, like it, I can for sure say, like, Cypher, when I first read it, like it changed the trajectory of, kind of, you know, for me, and that, like, you know, I that was one of the inspirations for me to want to start writing and everything. So it definitely, you've at least put a brick in that wall. So
then my work here is done. Then I can take off my fancy scarf.
Thank you so much for making some time for me. I'm sorry it was shorter than I had hoped, but I will take what I can get. So I appreciate it.
We did good. We got a lot done. We went in dark places. We ended up in the light. So what else can you do?
Thank you so much. You take care of yourself.
Okay, you too.
Bye. Bye.